More world leaders congratulate Ebrahim Raisi for winning Iran's presidential election as his supporters celebrate his victory. Iran summons British ambassador to protest violent incidents targeting its expatriates voting in the presidential election. The Yemeni army downs an American spy drone over Mara province, where heavy fighting is underway between Ansarullah fighters and Saudi backed forces. Good day, everyone. Welcome to World News here in the Iranian capital. I'm your host, Behzad Shafiq. Good to have you with us. Now, let's start this bulletin with the latest updates on Iran's presidential election. Ebrahim Raisi has won Iran's 2021 presidential election by a landslide victory. The Muslim cleric has become the eighth Iranian president since the establishment of the Islamic Republic in 1979.
The short but intense presidential race in Iran came to an end on Saturday, with principalist flag bearer Ebrahim Raisi announced as the next president. Out of some 29 million votes cast in the election, Raisi secured more than 17.9 million votes to win the election by a comfortable margin against his reformist rival, Abdel Nasser Hemati, who stood third in the race with less than 2.5 million votes.
Mr. Ebrahim Raisi is chosen by the people as the winner and president with 17,926,345 votes. Mr. Mohsen Rezai Miqad got 3,412,712 votes. Mr. Abdel Nasser Hemati, with 2,427,201 votes, is in the third place. Mr. Amir Hossein Ghazizadeh Hashemi, with 999,718 votes, is in the last place.
President-elect Raisi was the chief of Iran's judiciary from 2019 until he won the election. The Muslim cleric ran with the slogan of popular administration, Strong Iran, with a focus on uprooting corruption in the executive branch, fighting poverty, creating jobs, containing inflation and housing prices.
I will make changes to the circulars that allow astronomical salaries for certain managers. This way we can help promote justice.
President-elect Raisi will take over power from outgoing President Hassan Rouhani with a host of unresolved issues. On top of them is an economy affected by the U.S. sanctions. That's in large part tied to the fate of the 2015 nuclear deal. On the campaign trail, Raisi stood out as an outspoken critic of Rouhani's policies. He believed that the ultimate cure for the economy must be explored inside the country.
Mr. Raisi comes from the principalist camp, which believes that any talks with the West must take place from a position of strength, unlike the weak stance adopted by the outgoing administration, which has made the negotiations erosive. Raisi would continue the Vienna talks, but he would tell the other side, hey, if you want a deal, let's have it. If not, we'll continue with our remedial nuclear steps.
Some 60 million Iranians were eligible to vote in this year's election. The Interior Ministry put the final voter turnout at 48.8%. The polls opened an hour earlier at 7 a.m. on Friday, and voting was extended several times until 2 a.m. on Saturday, both to accommodate the flow of voters and prevent the spread of the coronavirus.
Ebrahim Raisi has promised to recover the Iranian economy and strengthen it in the face of sanctions. Now it's up to him to make good on his promises and bring about the economic change that every Iranian is now hoping for. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
The fireworks light up the skies over several Iranian cities as supporters of President-elect Raisi took to the streets to celebrate his victory. People took to the streets, mosques, and other public places to express the joy over Raisi's landslide win. He garnered some 18 million out of a total 29 million votes cast on Election Day, becoming the eighth president of the Islamic Republic of Iran. His rival, Mohsen Rezai, came in a distant second with 3.4 million votes, followed by the other two candidates. The president-elect has 4 years to deliver on his campaign pledges, which include fighting poverty and improving the economic situation. Congratulations are pouring in for Ebrahim Raisi and winning the Iran presidential election. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro expressed hope for further boosting of ties and cooperation between Caracas and Tehran during his presidency. Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel has wished success for Raisi in carrying out his duties. Nicaraguan President Daniel Ortega also expressed the deepest congratulations on behalf of his nation. Leaders of other countries, including Russia, Turkey, Iraq, Azerbaijan, Armenia, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, and the UAE, have already offered felicitations to the Iranian president-elect. Now let's take a look at the president-elect's background and what he has promised to do in the next 4 years.
Ebrahim Raisi is a prominent Iranian cleric. He has held several key posts in the judiciary since 1979 Islamic Revolution. He was a prosecutor of the cities of Karaj, Hamedan, as well as the capital, Tehran. Raisi also served as first deputy chief of justice of Iran and attorney general. In March 2016, Raisi became the chairman of Astan Quds Razavi, and in 2019, he was appointed as a judiciary chief, a post he currently serves. In May, the prominent cleric announced his candidacy. He ran on a platform of tackling economic problems such as poverty, unemployment, and inflation.
My administration will have no red line in fighting corruption. The root cause of injustices in the executive branch of the government must be dried up. The banking, tax, import, and export systems must be reformed.
On Iranian economy, Raisi finds the current conditions unacceptable since people are not able to predict their financial situation due to constant fluctuations. He has unveiled a plan on economic recovery.
My economic plan can be summed up in three main points. Of course, there are other important issues I will address later if time allows. But now I would like to mention these three principles, which are the most important ones. The first one is overhauling governance and fighting corruption, inefficiency, and discrimination. The second point concerns supporting underprivileged families and social strata. And the third is increasing production and boosting businesses.
Regarding the 2015 nuclear deal, Raisi says he has set an agenda for securing the removal of anti-Iran sanctions. He highlighted the need for strengthening the economy in the face of sanctions or any other trauma that might afflict the economy.
The Iranian nation should do all in its power to confront those who seek to breach the Iranian nation's rights and pursue the removal of sanctions. Definitely, action should be taken to bring about the removal of the sanctions.
On foreign policy, Raisi has vowed to expand ties with countries across the globe, with neighbors to be given priority.
With your help and through strong diplomacy, we can establish good relations with the regional countries and raise the volume of our exports to the neighbors to the best level. We believe in interactions with the entire world in order to solve the country's economic issues, but the regional countries should be a priority.
Raisi has promised to define an important mission for Iranian embassy, that is to engage in economic diplomacy in respective countries. He has been elected as the 8th president of the Islamic Republic. He says people's trust in the administration needs to be restored.
Let's move on with the rest of this broadcast. Tehran has summoned British ambassador to protest the violent incidents targeting his expatriates who showed up at polling station in the UK to participate in the presidential election. The Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman said that the violence was perpetrated by anti-revolutionary, anti-democratic, and terrorist elements, insulting the voters and Iranian embassy staff. Said Khatibzadeh says that the incidents included the beating of a female voter in Birmingham. He said Iran would launch legal proceedings against those responsible. Iranian media reported several incidents on Friday on the sidelines of the vote organized for Iranian citizens in Britain, the U.S., Australia, and other countries. The Yemeni army says it's shot down an American spy drone over the province of Marib. Army spokesman Yahya Saria said that the drone, known as Scan Eagle, was spotted and hit while flying over Masha region in Marib province. He said that a UAV was brought down using a land-to-air missile. The spokesman also underlined that the Yemeni armed forces would not hold back any effort to defend the country's skies against aggressive activities. They have shot down several American spy drones in Saudi Arabia, and some of its regional allies, backed by Washington, launched a war on Yemen in 2015. The war has left tens of thousands of Yemenis dead, many of them women and children. Meantime, Yemen's political leadership blames the UN for apathy toward the continued Saudi violations against the children of Yemen. Officials say that the UN should play its role to lift the Saudi blockade that causes more deaths among children instead of blacklisting the Ansarullah movement. Abdullatif al-Washari has more.
Yemen's Ansarullah movement blamed the United Nations for the Saudi atrocities committed against Yemeni children. The movement said the UN has always been providing the political cover-up for the Saudi war crimes. This came after the United Nations added the Ansarullah movement to its blacklist of groups for violating children's rights.
We were not surprised by this decision because the UN had removed the name of Saudi Arabia from its blacklist of the groups violating children's rights. The United Nations have not taken any real steps to protect the rights of Yemeni children who die every day due to continued blockade on food, medicine, and fuel. I believe that this is a resounding scandal for the Secretary General of the UN, who began his second term with this decision.
The member of the Supreme Political Council, Mohammed Al-Houthi, dismissed as baseless the UN accusation, saying it did not refer to an investigation on the ground as the movement has demanded. Meanwhile, the Minister of Information said the UN has turned a blind eye to the ongoing Saudi blockade on Yemenis, which causes the death of tens of Yemeni children on a daily basis.
This classification wasn't based on realistic data. We used to have the United Nations as a political cover for the war on Yemen and the killing of more Yemeni women and children, whether because of a continuous Saudi blockade or because of the airstrikes of Saudi fighter jets. This decision revealed to the world the true face of the United Nations, that it serves the agenda of the countries funding the UN.
Saudi Arabia and its allies launched a devastating war against Yemen in March 2015. The war has killed thousands of civilians, including women and children, and turned the war-torn country into the world's worst humanitarian crisis, according to the United Nations.
Observers say the United Nations blacklisting of Ansarullah is politically motivated and has no relation to the humanitarian situation in Yemen. They believe that the UN must take real actions against the Saudi blockade if it has real intentions to end the suffering of millions of Yemenis. Abdullatif al-Washali, Sana'a.
Now, elsewhere in the region, the Taliban militant group saying it's committed to the ongoing peace talks in Qatar amid concerns over the slow progress in the negotiations. The Taliban's political office said that the group believes in resolving issues through mutual understanding. Peace talks between the Afghan government and the Taliban resumed in Qatar last Tuesday after hitting an impasse in April. Officials fear the discussions are heading for a new deadlock, and they say that the Taliban need to submit a written peace proposal to be used as a basis for substantive talks. And this amid rising violence across Afghanistan as the U.S. is preparing to pull out its remaining troops from the war-torn country on the 11th of September. Armenians are heading to the polls to cast their ballots in the snap parliamentary elections. Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan called an early vote to defuse the political crisis sparked by last year's Nagorno-Karabakh conflict. His party is locked in a tight race with the party of former President Robert Kocharyan. Opinion polls indicating they're neck and neck. The party that wins the parliamentary majority will nominate the next premier. The South Caucasus country has been in turmoil since it lost a bloody six-week war against the Azerbaijan Republic last year. Opponents of Pashinyan accuse him of ceding territory in and around the Nagorno-Karabakh region to Azerbaijan by what they call his humiliating peace agreement with Baku. India has registered its lowest daily coronavirus cases in nearly 3 months. The country reported some 58,000 new infections in the past day, and that brings the case load there to 29.9 million. Fatalities hovering around 387,000. The new daily infections in India dropped recently after a surge in April and May. Daily infections reached their peak of more than 400,000 last month. Strict lockdowns and mass vaccine rollouts have helped contain the surge. India has the second largest caseload and the third highest death toll in the world. In Brazil, thousands of people have rallied across the nation to protest President Bolsonaro's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. Protests were held in at least 44 cities in 20 states. Demonstrators slammed the president for not acquiring vaccines fast enough and questioning the need for mask wearing. Protesters accused the government of carrying out a form of genocide given the country's high COVID death toll. They're calling for the ousting of President Bolsonaro. Brazil crossed the grim threshold of 500,000 COVID deaths. It has registered some 17.8 million cases. Brazil has witnessed the world's third worst outbreak, the second deadliest following that of the U.S. Hundreds of French fishermen have staged a protest against offshore wind farm projects in Normandy and the Brittany regions. Between 350 and 400 fishermen took part in the protest. They denounced the offshore wind industry's overreach. The fishermen demand an immediate halt to the construction work currently in progress. Protesters believe that the offshore wind turbines will change the ecosystems and the seabed. As a result, the resources from the sea will decrease by up to 30%. That's a wrap for this news bulletin. Goodbye.
Diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shimanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of first grade. My dad, who is
the Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, June 20th, 2021. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast, because your views are very important. If you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, dear listeners, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. Dear listeners, on Friday, June 18th, the Islamic Republic of Iran witnessed the high turnout of people participating in the 13th presidential election. Simultaneously, Iran also held midterm parliamentary elections and city council elections and the Assembly of Experts elections. Different walks of life participated from this election. On Friday, actually, we witnessed a celebration of democracy in the Islamic Republic of Iran. As you may know, Iranians from different walks of life carrying Iranian flag participated in this election, showing the world that the Islamic Republic of Iran is the most democratic nation in the world. So we congratulate on the Iranian people on this celebration and on this victory. And according to initial reports, at the time that we are recording this program, Listeners Special, we have official reports that Dr. Sayed Ebrahim Raisi has gained victory over the three other contenders. So congratulations on the Iranian nation. Welcome back, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very useful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. As you may know, these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. And here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Alexei Kolakov from Russia, Raider Bro from Finland, and Mohammad Briel from Malaysia. Alexei, Raider, and Mohammad, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Also, we have different emails and actually letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read their letters and emails. From Japan, we have an email from Teruhiko Kashi from Japan. From Sweden, we have an email from one of our regular listeners. This email is from Krister Bronstorm. From India, we have an email from Jayanta Chakrabarty. Jayanta Chakrabarty is one of our regular and old listeners. And also, the last but not the least is an email from Pakistan. This email is from Malik Allah Bachaya. Many thanks for sending us these letters and emails from around the world. I will read these emails and letters after a short break. Please stay with us. Thank you. Rochelle, and I'm here with, plenty of emails and letters from around the world, but we have to, because of the lack of time, we have to read just some of them, including this email from Teruhiko Kachi from Japan. Teruhiko from Japan says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, I am a Japanese shortwave listener. I first listened to your session some 50 years ago. Recently, I have restarted shortwave listening when I am free. I listened to your English program some days ago, and I am sending the reception reports. Please find the attached PDF. Although the reception condition was not very good, I hope the report will be useful for you. If you send me a QSL card, I will be very happy. With my best wishes, yours sincerely, Teruhiko Kachi, Nagoya, Japan." First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you, Teruhiko Kachi from Japan, and many thanks for sending us this email. It seems that you have listened to our station, IRIB English Radio, 50 years ago, and now you've recently restarted shortwave listening. That's great. So we hope that this interaction, this relationship between us and IRIB English Radio continue since you restarted shortwave listening. It's an honor to have you with us again. You attached the PDF. Yes, we've received that PDF. Many thanks for sending us this PDF, and my colleagues will send you an EQSL card as soon as possible. And as you said, the reception condition was not very good, and we will actually inform our technicians and engineers at IRIB English Radio very soon about this problem. And anyway, thank you very much for sending us this email, Teruhiko Kachi from Japan. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon. Please, in your upcoming emails and letters, tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast, because your views help us to improve the quality of our programs. From Pakistan, we have an email from Malik Allah Buchaya. Malik Allah Buchaya from Pakistan says, "Dear IRIB English Radio staff, I hope you will be fine, and I and my club friends are also fine. I am a radio listener of your service, and I listen to your programs via internet. If possible for your service, please post me some literature about your radio programs and other promotional items for my club friends. I shall be wait for your good response. Best wishes." First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you, Malik Allah Bachaya from Pakistan. And I do appreciate you for sending us this email. You have sent this email on behalf of your club friends, club members, and yourself. That's great. Thank you very much. So you listen to IRIB English Radio via internet. Yes, it is possible to listen to IRIB English Radio through shortwave and internet via our website with the address of www.parstoday.com/yen. Yes, it is possible. Most people prefer to listen to IRIB English Radio via traditional ways, via the shortwave. That's a way, as you wish. That's great. And about your request, as you have requested our frequencies and our program's schedule, you can find it through our website. Yes, our program's schedule is available at our website. And about requesting your promotional items for your club friends, I will inform my colleagues about sending you promotional items and souvenirs of IRIB English Radio. Malik Allah Bachaya from Pakistan, we wish you and your club members all the best. Please send us emails and letters with your views very soon. We're looking forward to hearing from you, Malik Allah Bachaya from Pakistan. Well, dear listeners of Listeners Special, After a short break, we will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Please stay with us. Well, here we are back with an email from Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India says, "Dear staff of IRIB English Radio, greetings to you and to all my beautiful friends at IRIB English Radio. Hope you are all in good spirit and in the best of health. I am pleased to send a feedback of your informative and exciting broadcast of 9th June 2021, featuring interesting highlights of some of the important world issues. I listened to the program on shortwave with good reception quality. Some details of the program heard and my comments. Today's show, as usual, had a unique mix of updated and unbiased news report from around the world. The following topics were of a special interest to me. Number one, the tragic drug issue in Afghanistan, which has kept both farmers and citizens insecure and in poverty. Number two, in the limelight, the issue of increasing hunger and unemployment in the U.S. due to COVID-19 was effectively highlighted. Children and the minority community, even in wealthy countries, are the most sufferers. The above report may kindly be verified with a printed QSL card and when the postal service are normalized. I would be grateful to receive some Iranian postage stamps for collection. As an economist and former joint director in the government of India, I find IRIB English radio programs very useful. My main interest includes knowing more about the economy, social history, and culture of Iran. I closely follow the economic, the industrial, scientific, and technological development of Iran and the peaceful, cooperative, and friendly policies pursued by the Iranian government to all like-minded nations of the world. In addition, my other hobbies are learning more about the culture and tradition of different countries, DXing, engaging in social work, traveling, and collecting postage stamps and coins. May God bless all members of IRIB English Radio Service with good health and safety. Warm regards from India. First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you from Iran and IRIB English Radio, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, and many thanks for writing this really encouraging and really inspiring email to IRIB English Radio. Many thanks for your commitment to our radio. And of course, it was really nice of you to send us and this email. Actually, I really enjoyed it because, first of all, you reflected your views about our programs. As you said, you just chose some parts of the news program and you said you really enjoyed it because it was unbiased. Yes, it's a privilege. Yes, it's updated, it's unbiased. We always try to represent and show the listeners of IRIB English Radio updated and unbiased news reports from around the world, actually. And you said that you enjoyed a program of the In the Limelight. In the Limelight is a mix of political and scientific program. And as you said, you chose a program that was about hunger and unemployment in the U.S. Yes. Thank you very much for reflecting your views about our programs. It's an honor to have you with us, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. And you said you are an economist and former joint director in the government of India. That's great. And you said you find IRIB English radio programs very useful. That's great. So your hobby includes economic, social, historical, and the culture of Iran. That's great. Again, thank you very much, Jayanta Chakrabarty, for reflecting your views and writing this email to IRIB English Radio. Many thanks. Of course, my colleagues in IRIB English Radio will send you an EQSL card, and as soon as possible, and as soon as the, as you know, the postage conditions gets to the normal track, we'll send you the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio, including the postage stamps, or as you said, those kind of promotional items that have the reflect the culture of Iran and the tradition of Iran. I do appreciate you, Jayanta Chakrabarty, for sending us this email. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Please stay with us. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Sweden. This email is from Christer Brandstorm. Christer Brandstorm from Sweden is one of our regular listeners who says, Dear IRIB English Radio staff, on June 10, 2021, I noted improved audio quality at 2010 UTC on 9855 kHz, which is good. I can understand your problems in sending QSL card by postal mail, but I certainly hope you will resume this practice once the pandemic is history. Anyway, the picture of Mount Damavand was very beautiful, and I might use it in my monthly column called World Radio Listener. It is part of a magazine called QTC. Kind regards from Sweden. And salam and warmest greetings to you, Christer Brandstorm from Sweden, and many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. So you listened, you have recently listened to IRIB English Radio. As you said, the audio quality was good. That's great. It's inspiring to have listeners that reflect their views about our program so that we can improve the quality of our programs, of course. As you said, yes, there are problems about sending QSL cards, but my colleagues have designed and prepared EQSL cards so that they will send you EQSL cards as soon as possible, Christer Brandstorm from Sweden. So you have received a picture of Mount Damavand that is beautiful, and you are going to publish it in your magazine. That's great. Thank you very much, Christer Brandstorm from Sweden. So, Christer Brandstorm from Sweden, please write to us soon. We wish you all the best. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon with showing us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Before we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, again, I congratulate on the Iranian nation for their participation, for their high turnout and mass participation in the 13th presidential election, which was held on Friday, June 18th. Congratulations. Iranians from different walks of life participated in this election, and it was a celebration of democracy in the Islamic Republic of Iran. Congratulations. Dear listeners, many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio, and goodbye.
Dear listeners, you're a opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pastoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pastodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
The debate.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Debate. Thank you for joining us. Now, as you know, Sayed Ebrahim Raisi has been elected as president in a landslide. His supporters gathered in the capital, Tehran, to celebrate his victory just hours after the official announcement. In this edition of The Debate, we will discuss what the future holds for the president-elect and his administration. Now, to discuss that further, we're joined by Mr. Masoud Shajare, who's joining us from London, head of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, and also manager of Canadian Defenders for Human Rights, Firas Al-Najim, who is joining us from Ottawa. Now, let's begin our discussion with Mr. Masoud Shajare. Thank you very much, sir, for joining us. Now, if you could please tell us what you think is the significance of Friday's election.
The significance is the fact that so many people went out despite many odds, despite the fact that Corona is creating havoc around the world, and particularly in Iran. And indeed, the sort of 8 years of Rouhani's presidency, which made many disillusioned because his philosophy, was saying that the situation of Iran will change once sort of West will come back to JCPOA and indeed will accept the agreement on the nuclear treaty and indeed will stop the sanctions. All during his presidency, that was the message which was coming out, that we are going to make a difference because we could do a deal with the West, and West will respect us, and therefore economy will improve. And that was a failure, total failure. And as a matter of fact, people felt that the solution that was being put forward were not realistic, and indeed they became disillusioned. Really, after that 8 years, I think a lot of people were disillusioned. They didn't want to vote for vote, or indeed they didn't want to vote for the same policies or same ideology of those candidates who were standing against Mr. Raisi. And it was predicted from the beginning, before the Supreme Council will make any decision on who can or cannot run for presidency. It was all the polls were showing that something with 35% to 40%, there will be people who will come to the ballot box. And so I think that was the reason, these were the reasons. But having said that, despite everything which was shown by all these channels from London, from United States, you know, financed by the Saudis, financed by United States, financed by everyone around the world to put pressure and say, don't go and vote. People in Iran did exactly opposite that, and they went, and the election was extremely respectable, and the winning of Mr. Raisi was very extremely respectable vis-a-vis the numbers of votes he got. And I think now the West has to accept the fact that Iran has got a different style and different philosophy for moving forward in relationship to the West. And indeed, even people in Iran are not expecting a change. And that change is going to happen. And that change is what the nation needs.
You pointed to a very important issue, so let's bring in Mr. Firas al-Najim to discuss that even further. Mr. al-Najim, Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei said in a statement that Iranian people are the true winners of the election. What message do you think that he is trying to convey? Let's not forget that, as Mr. Shajari pointed out, the Saudis and, of course, media outlets from the West capitalized a lot and made a lot of investments to try and discourage Iranian people from taking part in the election.
I mean, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, his message was clear that the people's turnout, the people that, you know, broke the barriers and pushed through all these pressures and, you know, came to choose the destiny and the future of their nation and where it's going, and also on the region as well, because, you know, Iran is a key player in the region as well, like supporting the resistance, the Palestinians, the Iraqis, whoever is as a neighbor. You know, Iran is always harbored and came to, help and secure these countries around the region. And, you know, this has to do with the future of also the economy of Iran. And I think the big turnout, while, you know, this COVID is playing a bad role, like obviously it's a very dangerous virus that's spreading and people are dying and so on. So people taking that precaution and also wearing their mask and all that and going out there. And, you know, you saw people from different religions, Christians, Muslims, you know, different sects of Islam, Sunni, so on. They all went out and elected and, you know, contributed to their nation and to the future of the nation. And I think they really, honestly, at this point, they chose the wisest leader that was, you know, from all the candidates. I mean, he's got a lot of, you know, good background. He's an incredible person, and he's a man of law. So he's gonna know how to deal with international law in a more wise way than the Rouhani presidency and his government, his administration. And you know, Iran is in a better position now as well. You know, they went through so many hardships. You know, these inflations, these prices, this pressure from the West, from the media defaming things, you know, and trying to paint the wrong picture. And, you know, a lot of governments or regimes in the world said that they don't recognize these elections, and they said that these are not legitimate and so on. But the people's turnout really showed a powerful strength and legitimacy to this government, and legitimacy to this leadership, and legitimacy to what the new administration is going to put forward. And this administration right now, it's a new administration, a new face. And then we also have a new administration of the illegitimate Zionist regime. So I think this is a very big change for the region and for the world. And let's hope, you know, for the best, you know, administration right now, that, you know, could help the world.
Thank you very much. Mr. Shajadeh, the U.S. and its Western allies always try to delegitimize Iran's election, despite the fact that it is among a handful of countries observing the democratic process in the region. Why so much hostility towards a system that the U.S. considers itself an advocate of?
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, if you go back from the beginning of the revolution and the sort of implementation of the Islamic Republic and the referendum, which was overwhelmingly supported by masses, and it was amazing the number of people who actually voted for the creation of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And then, you know, there has been elections after election, up to 84-89% of people partaking, and they dismiss all those, you know, all those sort of were dismissed. And now, because of obvious reasons we discussed, the 48.8%, which is very normal within the Western world as a sort of number of people taking part, is being used spent to undermine it. They have always undermined, and it's not just in Iran they undermine the election. They undermine the election in Venezuela, in Palestine, and you know, anywhere in the world where they are not dominant power, they are not colonial power, they don't actually rule, they undermine the elections, they undermine the government, they undermine the legitimacy. You know, they did it in Cuba, they do it over and over, and it's not just in the region of Middle East, it actually goes far beyond that. The reality is that they decide that who is friend and who isn't. And you know, let's not forget that their states, which are the loving sort of supporters of, like Bahrain, like Saudi Arabia, who are, you know, they don't even understand the meaning of democracy. They actually, every time the word of democracy is mentioned, they start shibboleth. And you know, it really is, and they are absolute dictatorship against their own people. They are in Bahrain, they're killing anyone who's standing up for democracy. They're in jail, they're abused. You know, and in Saudi Arabia, not only they don't even understand the concept of democracy, but you know, they are committing war crimes in Yemen, and they are being supported for all this. Look at the state of Israel. The state of Israel is an apartheid. It's apartheid in every sense of the word. Even the number plate, license plate on the cars for Jews is one type, and for non-Jews is another. They could go in certain areas, others cannot go in certain areas. In this day and age, this sort of level of apartheid, the fact that Israeli policies and the government has made it clear legislation that this is a state for Jews, and Jews have got first and last power over others. This sort of level of apartheid and this level of abuses is being held up as the only democracy in the Middle East. It really is ridiculous, these accusations. And you know, we hear accusations that Iran is getting involved in trying to influence the elections around the world. What? It's actually everywhere around the world, United States, Britain, and their allies and everyone else, by creating these satellite sort of channels, hundreds of them beaming into Iran, trying to influence, telling people not to vote. It is getting involved directly in trying to influence the election in Iran. And they have done so forever. I mean, let's not forget the time of Dr. Mossadegh, you know, how they actually did a coup to remove a legitimate elected member in Iran. Look, democracy is just a ploy. It's just a tool that they use to against whoever they feel that is not accepting their authority. And their authority is a colonial authority, is a new type of colonialism. And as long as you're part of that and you accept the power, they will let you to get away with murder.
That is very true. Now, also, let's not forget that Israel has reacted to Mr. Raisi's election by saying that he is committed to rapidly advancing military nuclear program. Mr. Al-Najim, why do you think, what is behind Israel's fear-mongering and negative propaganda? Why is he bringing this up?
Yes, well, it's obvious that they're always lying and fabricating things to raise the tensions and to have America and all the different Western governments to back them up and also install fear in the Western, installed puppet regimes such as the GCC, the regimes that Brother Masoud was bringing up about Saudi and Bahrain and all that, so they can, you know, give more of their oil and their money to the, you know, Americans, to the Zionists. They can get closer to normalization and can always be fearful of Iran. Obviously, Iran has a fatwa by Sayyid Khamenei that, you know, nuclear weapons are forbidden. And this is, this is a principled stand that will continue this way. And, you know, this is the type of, things that they always fabricate. The Zionist regime obviously does fear the Iranian government and its influence and its obviously its supporters and allies in the region. And they've seen recently from the battle between Gaza and the Zionist regime that it's not a joke anymore, you know what I mean? And they're well equipped and they're well supported by the Iranians. Even all the Gaza leadership there, like Hamas and different ones like Islamic Jihad, have all said that we thank, you know, above all allies Iran because they've supported us through all these wars. You know, there's a lot of different people that are lying and deceiving, such as the MKO. They're known as their name is the Mujahideen Khalq, Munafiqeen Khalq. They also are being supported by a lot of the West. The Shah's son, Reza Pahlavi, that's living in the States. I mean, all these people are all losing grip, and they have lost their influence, and they have lost their supporters as well. You know what I mean? All they do is attack people. Like we've seen here in protests or different events that they have no language of dialogue. They have no language of there's nothing that you can, no diplomacy. They just attack, like they did that in England. We've seen some videos of them attacking the election areas where people were going to elect. Unfortunately, in Canada, there was no way for the Iranians to take part in these elections. Unfortunately, the Canadian government is falling, you know, to the Zionist plots and to the Zionist influence and bullying, you know, because the Iranians should have a right that live in Canada to elect, and give their voice towards their motherland and their nation, you know, and it's unfortunate that this is the way. But at the end of the day, you know, I even heard from the Iranian, government officials and so on, that the West, because of their severe sanctions, because also Biden failed with his promises to pull the sanctions off Iran, that people now voted the conservatives what they call the hardliners, you know, because people are, you know, under pressure and so on, and they want to change. So really, the West failed, you know, because obviously they would rather have a reformist, liberal kind of government, as they call it, and, that would be easier for them to negotiate. But now the conservatives, they don't negotiate in a way where they're going to get deceived. They're not going to negotiate in a way where, you know, they will, it will fail, especially now that they have learned the lesson of what happened with Rouhani, where they worked so hard on this nuclear negotiation, and then a next administration comes in the U.S. and just, you know, withdraws from the whole thing and dismisses everything and does not respect any agreement, respect their own allies, such as the other nations that were involved, other governments, such as Germany and U.K. and so on. So this shows clearly that, you know, who's on the right track and who's failing and who's winning and who's moving forward.
Mr. Al-Najim and Mr. Shajari, actually, there's one more question that I need to ask you. It's quite important, so if you could please keep it short because we have less than 2 minutes' time.